Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord in person and also online. This is a day the Lord has made. We sure do have reason to do just that. What is holding back God's blessings? Can we say it has something to do with us? Not just we who are gathered here in this place, but we human beings throughout the world? Would it be arrogant to say to God, God, we deserve your blessings, and if you're not going to bless us, then we're going to ignore you? Well, that is what's happening, isn't it? So what's the answer? We're in the right place to hear it. God bless us and draw our attention, our focus on his word for his answers. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word through word and song.
And accept our words with thanks and praise.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, in mercy, receive the prayers of your people. Grant them the wisdom to know the things that please you, and the grace and power always to accomplish them.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. We're now at the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. A reading from Holy Scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Words spoken to the children of Israel, which still apply to us in one sense, that there will be heartaches and setbacks in this life. It gives us an opportunity to reflect on why those things happen. And the Lord God allows such to happen because he's always refining us, with the goal of keeping us on the path which leads to heaven. We hear these words. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
No doubt, life is full of hardships. And the Lord God is aware, and He continues to shower us with His grace. May we not be dismissive of that grace. A reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Corinthians 12. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song. The Lord has made His salvation known.
And revealed His righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Burst into jubilant song with music.
Make music to the Lord with the harp.
With the harp and the sound of singing.
Shout for joy before the Lord, the King.
He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples together.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 6th chapter, where we are encouraged to not be deceived. God, help us recognize what are blessings from Him and also what are tools of Satan to deceive us. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of His disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we sing our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance. This thanks to our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our meditation this morning. We turn back to the gospel reading for today. We hear once again these words from Luke chapter 6. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and that redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us to be his own and has laid it out for us to make it possible to keep us on that road to heaven. Have you played the game Simon Says with Jesus as the leader? If you have, what was it like? If you haven't, what do you think it would be like? Do you think Jesus would have us do some off-the-wall actions? Do you think Jesus would be the one that would not have us do anything that would put our eternal life in jeopardy? Well, the words of Luke chapter 6 are not just a game. They are words that are to be followed, words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're to be followed exactly for the purpose of living life like we know and believe that eternal life is ours, and we want to hold on to it. And so our focus this morning, based on these words before us, is simply this. Live like you believe the priority. What's the priority? Jesus is the priority. And along those lines of living like you believe the priority, would Jesus be in that priority? That also includes then seeing the big picture of life. Because way too often, right, we get caught up in the smallness of life. And that's important to remember, especially as we go through trials and tribulations and hardships. Jesus encourages us, especially at those moments, to live like you know you believe the priority. And that priority is Jesus, the epiphany. Jesus. What a beautiful season of the church year. To focus yet again on a promise kept by our God and Savior. A promise having to do with our salvation. Long ago foretold to the prophets who were abused and ignored and some listened. Telling the people that the Messiah would come, that God had not forsaken his people nor his promises. And so the Epiphany, Jesus is among us. Proof, further proof of that promise being kept. The proof is also seen in the fact that as Jesus was walking around on this earth in the flesh, what was taking place? People, crowds were gathering around him to listen to him and to be healed by him. And as they were seeking physical healing from him, they were also receiving spiritual healing. For some it took, others it did not. But crowds were gathering. The reputation of Jesus was out and about, not just in a minute area, but people from the whole region were coming, making the effort to hear Jesus, who had refreshing news about salvation, especially about how to live life without all the guilt and the weight of heavy burdens that the religious leaders of that day were putting on the people, let alone their own sinful nature. Putting burdens on the people. Jesus had refreshing news. He knew people were hurting. The people knew they were hurting. And that's why they were seeking out Jesus. This sounded good. And it's still relevant today because people are still hurting, are they not? In fact, we might be some of those who are hurting more than most. Maybe it's because of a past sin. Words that were said out of anger that Like toothpaste we can't put back in the tube? And consequences happen, a lost friendship, maybe even a ruined marriage. Maybe we had to spend some time behind bars. We're hurting in different ways and for different reasons. But it's the same solution to help deal with that hurt as it was then, as it is today. And that is Jesus, the Epiphany Jesus, who appeared among us to offer his help and healing. Not just for the here and now, but for the here and hereafter. And so Jesus remains the priority. His actions got people's attention. He was known as a miracle worker. You were not feeling well. You were dealing with possession, demon possession. Jesus had the power to heal. Your loved one passed away. Jesus had the power to raise up again that deceased relative. His reputation was out there. But again, Jesus did not come, right, just to be that miracle worker. He came to be so much more. And thankfully, he was. He had the people's attention. Does he have the people's attention today? When people are hurting, emotionally or physically or spiritually, is Jesus the first person they seek out? Is the church the first place they go to? Maybe it was a while back. It never was for everybody. But is it falling off even more so? And so then the hurt continues and gets bigger. It's understandable why people may not seek out the church first. The church, the earthly church, has not done a good job of representing Jesus and keeping him as the priority. I mean, the earthly church is changing the scriptures, saying what's acceptable in lifestyles, redefining God's love as accepting of anything and everything. And so Jesus, amongst the blessings that he has to offer, also offers up some woes to the earthly church. And who makes up the earthly church? Individuals. Careful what you soften up, because it can come with eternal consequences. We want to be known as a church that has healing. Not by anything that we who make up the church have to offer, but by what we represent. Who? Jesus, the priority. He has the power to heal through his word, through the salvation that he has secured. That's why he came, to live the life that we cannot live, and to take that life to the cross and die the death that we deserve to die for all the sins and failures that we have committed in our life. And he said, "It is finished." As we'll hear once again, as we're soon to embark with the Savior on his journey to the cross. Your sins are forgiven. Your past does not have to stick with you, at least the guilt of it. Old consequences may linger, but again, those do not have to keep you away from Jesus or out of heaven. Jesus may use what happened in the past as a way to keep you focused on him, like the Apostle Paul with that thorn in the flesh. God said, "Paul, you're going to have that. And just realize that my grace is sufficient. I'm with you." But that's what's going to keep you humble and focused. And we don't hear Paul bargaining with God. "Okay, Lord, your grace is sufficient. Help me accept it." And that's our prayer too. "God, your grace is sufficient. Maybe that trial, that thorn, that hardship in my life is not going away. But Lord, help me remember your grace is sufficient to help me endure it today and the next day, all the way to eternal life. For that's why Jesus came. And that's why he's the priority. And that's why we're to live our lives like we believe the priority, that he is the priority. And in so living that way, it includes seeing the big picture. God has called us to be different. He has called us not to be of the world while we're still in the world. And so in that way, we are considered to be aliens and strangers while in this world, because we're not going to act like the world does. At least we should not act like the world does. For what does Jesus say? Blessed are those who are poor, who, like the tax collector said in the temple, I, Lord, bring nothing to you. Have mercy on me, a sinner. What a gift that is to recognize our poverty before Christ, that we can bring nothing to him. Jesus isn't simply talking about physical poverty. People in Luther's day got caught up in that, and so they sold all their possessions and lived in poverty, thinking that was a way to get right with God and appease his righteous anger. No, that was foolishness. But Jesus also says, don't let wealth deceive you, which it can too often. Blessed are those who hunger now, who have a thirst for God's word, who, like the psalmist, meditate on his word day and night, who have that desire to do so, recognizing we will be like streams planted by streams of water, or trees planted by streams of water, which its roots will continue to dig deeper and deeper and grow, and we will understand God's grace in our life even through hardships. Blessed are you who weep now, who mourn over the earthly circumstances. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and insult you and reject you and so on. When you are working, or maybe and still are working, or when you go to the community center for an event, or hanging with family or friends, when you walk in the room, the break room, do they all of a sudden become quiet? Or do they give you a strange look? Or do they know that around you certain words aren't tolerated, certain jokes aren't tolerated? And what would Jesus say your reaction ought to be? Should you feel bad? What does he say? Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. You are salt and light, and they recognize you at that. Not as a prude, but as someone who has expectations. They know your reputation. They may insult you. They may exclude you from the weed party, from the alcoholic party, from the orgy. That's okay. Praise God that you were excluded from that. Because those who think that's where life is at, they're up in for a rude awakening. And for those who think they know it all already and don't need Jesus, Jesus says you're in for a rude awakening too. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God. He's going to say, I never knew you. You didn't make time for me while you were here on earth. You made time for everything else under the sun, but not for me. And yet you still claim some allegiance to me. Faith without fruit, that's not faith. How many of our family members and friends are deceiving themselves? What can we do about it? Keep on praying. Keep on encouraging. Keep on inviting. Keep directing them to the priority, Jesus. And help them see that this life includes keeping in mind the bigger picture. Are we living for self, or are we living for Jesus? Jesus isn't saying that wealth is bad. It's the love of that wealth, the pursuit of it. Sure, if we have money, we might be able to get better health care than those who don't have money, but we still end up in the same place, in the grave and before the Lord God. So don't seek wealth to be your God. Use it as a gift from God to benefit yourself and others. If you're living for fame, be careful. How many people in Hollywood have said because they have become famous, now their life sometimes is a living hell with stalkers and other threats? Those who have won the lottery, how many have said, wish we could give it back? Well, we can help it take it off their hands. But it comes with consequences, unintended sometimes, right? Rather, to live our life for Jesus. And so continue to hunger for His Word. Continue to recognize your need for Jesus as your Savior and the forgiveness that He has won. And along then with living for Jesus, it is important who we associate with. Are we going to associate with people who are going to build us up in the faith? Who are going to encourage us in life's journey and look out for our physical and mental and spiritual being? Or are they just using us? What we choose to do in place of worshiping Jesus, of making time for Him, that matters. Mark 8 records our Lord's words in saying, "What good is it to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul?" Living for Jesus as the priority, it's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. It's not a checklist. And so when you're going through hardships in this life, don't look at it as a woe is me. But thank you, Lord, for the blessing. That you care enough to keep my life focused on the road that leads to heaven. And if it be your will, Lord, remove this hardship from my life, but if not, continue to give me your grace to endure it. And so when you go and see someone else who's going through a trial or hardship, and they start going down that woe is me path, lovingly trying to find a way to get them to think about the blessing of it. Open up Romans chapter 8, read through it with them. Lovingly, patiently, over and over again repeating that Jesus is the priority and how He can use hardships to keep us thinking that way. Continue then to be that salt and light which God has called us to be. So, dear friends, what are you going to work on this week? This month, to help you reflect better on the fact that you believe the priority in your life. As you give that some thought, may this hymn verse serve as an encouragement. Gold and earthly fame and treasure, come disaster, scorn, and pain. In your service, pain is pleasure. With your favor, loss is gain. I have called you Abba, Father. You my all in all shall be. Storms may howl and clouds may gather. All must work for good to me. Dear friends, live your life like you know and believe the priority. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our priority, in this life and the next. Amen. We confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 9. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we pray.
Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. You have given us your precious words to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them mercy and wisdom.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. And comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Lord, take our silver and our gold. Not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, we pour at your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves and we will be ever only all for you. Father in heaven, full of grace and mercy, bring healing to the hearts of the Greg Wheezy family as his niece lost her baby. Again, we do not always understand all the whys behind the hardships in our life, so help them and us all to find peace as we lean on your promises. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week and help our married couples keep the spark in their marriage, moved by your love for each of them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever ways you need in your sight.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Blessings on the rest of your day. Connect cards are available. If you haven't filled one out, please take the time to do so. Bible study taking place. We're still looking at the Ten Commandments and how that applies to our life and how we can use that as a discussion on being salt and light to our family and friends. Then this coming Friday, we have Food Truck Friday and movie night. So Soft Sack Tacos is the provider of the food truck, so that'll be right outside the multi-purpose center. We'll watch the movie inside. We're watching the movie Facing the Giants, so hopefully you can make it this Friday night, 5 o'clock, stay for the food or just come for the movie, whatever works, stay for both. And then on Saturday, after our last St. Mark's youth basketball smibble, this will be our sixth session. It's been great to have all these families on campus, and the children are not ready for the NBA, but they're close, right? It's been a good haul. And after Smibble this coming Saturday, we have our school open house. So if anybody you know might be interested or you want to direct them to our school to learn more about it, this would be a good opportunity. Talk to one of our teachers about information regarding the open house on Saturday afternoon. Then on Sunday, we plan to have our celebration Sunday. You can read more about that in the weekly news. Again, we're asking members to either stay or come at 9:30 for a brief conversation here inside the church, and then we're going to ask you to break out in different groups throughout the campus. We'll have our four boards and several areas of ministry throughout the campus just to learn what's going on, even more so here at St. Mark's, how you might be able to become involved, what to pray for, and so forth as you have those conversations with those serving on our boards and in those areas of ministry. So just an opportunity to celebrate even more so, in a heightened way, God's blessings among us here as a ministry in action. We're thankful for his blessings. Easter egg hunt is coming up, April 9th. Again, save the date. We'll be needing volunteers. In the meantime, until we actually get the volunteer sign-up sheet out there, we are looking for people to help provide things to stuff inside the eggs. And so there's a box there in the entryway for those items as you bring them back between now and before the Easter egg hunt. And just if you have questions of what to put in there, you can seek out Dina Oswald. She'll be happy to help you if you need suggestions. And then just see the weekly news for other things that are going on here at St. Mark's Church and School. At this time, we'll get connected with the work we do as a church body, the Wells Connection.
Hello, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Big versus small. When it comes to schools, we might assume that big schools have more opportunities, while small schools have a friendlier atmosphere. But Michigan Lutheran Seminary doesn't fit the mold. Instead, it offers the best of both worlds.
It's homecoming at Michigan Lutheran Seminary, with all the excitement and school spirit that you might expect. While this event has all the hallmarks of a big school game, Michigan Lutheran Seminary is better known for its small school atmosphere, as a place where everyone knows your name.
And it's really nice just because you have such like a family bond with like everyone here.
Everyone is just so welcoming, and it feels like you just have a lot of siblings.
Many of the students live in dormitories, which fosters lifelong relationships with friends who share a common faith in Jesus.
It's just like the best place. Like, you're surrounded by other Christians and all your friends go here too, so it's really nice.
We gotta trust each other.
Like much larger schools, Michigan Lutheran Seminary has a full slate of extracurriculars and a wide range of off-campus experiences to help students learn to express their Christian faith in many different settings.
They have opportunities to go out into congregations and schools, to shadow a pastor, to learn from a teacher in the classroom, to really get that hands-on experience so they can say, I love this.
Skeleton, we talked about it on the video.
On campus, students also have unique opportunities to learn about the world, including through the firsthand stories of the school's many international students. Andy Liu, for example, was barred from worship in his home country, China.
I definitely do appreciate this a lot because back in China, we had to hide our Bibles. The government actually found out that our school was teaching about the Bible, so they actually shut it down.
There are people on our campus that don't believe they fit in.
Studying the Bible, learning to share the Savior, remains at the core of Michigan Lutheran Seminary's purpose. That mission is most visible in twice daily chapel. But it's part of every class, every activity here. As a preparatory school for high school age students, this campus is dedicated to preparing the next generation of pastors, teachers, staff ministers, and missionaries.
I would really like to teach music or maybe elementary. Helping them grow in their faith, that just seems so just an amazing gift to be able to help them.
So, can you tell me, what are some things that we notice?
While visitors to this school might first notice the state-of-the-art facilities, anyone who spends time here will see something much bigger, the love of Christ that guides every hour of every day, with a special goal of shepherding the next generation of leaders who will serve you at your congregation and around the world.
Michigan Lutheran Seminary has a positive student-to-faculty ratio, which means the faculty and staff get to know each student as an individual, modeling the kind of one-on-one care and commitment that called workers bring to congregations like yours.